Well, good morning. Good to see you this morning. Appreciate you being with us in our Sunday school hour. Thank the Lord He's blessed us through another week. Give us another opportunity to assemble together and study together and look at His precious Word. So that's what we want to try to do this morning. And just ask Him to lead, guide, and direct us as we study together. We're going to be in Matthew, so I ask you to turn to Matthew. We'll be in the 27th chapter as we start this morning. And I'll kind of do a little refresher from where we were last Sunday and look at a few things, Lord willing. Again, I do thank you so much for putting up with me during the Sunday school hour and being with us, and for those who listen in. You know, sometimes you think about it and you wonder why in the world anybody ever want to listen to you teach a Sunday school lesson. But thank the Lord for an opportunity, and we hope we serve Him well while He blesses us to be able to do this. So bow with us in prayer, and then we'll look at our study together. Lord, again today, we come humbly before You. Lord, because we know that within ourselves, we have no ability to rightly divide Your precious Word. But by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and if You told us to study, You open it up to us and help us to understand it and gain knowledge and truth from Your precious Word. And give us those sweet thoughts and those secure thoughts as we study. So today, Lord, we'd ask again that You might open it before us, that it might be rightly divided, and that it might be for Your glory and for our growth and a position to serve You more. Bless this time together, and bless all that's done here this day, and may it be done only in the name of our precious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whom with thankful heart for all the blessings we do pray now. Amen. Matthew 27th chapter. Now, if you remember, last Sunday we had kind of gone through the process that Christ went through. And you remember we started with the disciples when He's talked about the sheep being scattered. And then we came all the way through, and we were talking about His crucifixion, and He gave up the ghost. And as we finished up, we were talking about he was with someone the whole time in the Garden of Gethsemane when the angels came and ministered to Him. He was not left alone. He had some of His disciples were close by all the time. Even on Calvary, He looked out, and His mother and Mary Magdalene and all those that were there. But from the sixth hour to the ninth hour, God Almighty said, nobody's going to look at My Son and see what He goes through from the sixth to the ninth hour. When I turned My back on Him, and Satan has a field day with Him, but the world's not going to see it. And there He paid the supreme sacrifice for your and my sins in the darkness as He hung on the cross. And the Father's back was turned. Because we know when the sixth and the ninth hour, when the ninth hour was over, said, my God, why hast thou the second me, and He gave up the ghost. Now, I want us to begin now to look at the resurrections. I know Easter's past, but it's Easter every day. And I want us to look at the resurrection, and then I want us to look back had a few characters of, it's kind of like Brother Ben had been doing, had a few characters that we see, and some particular words that Christ said to the disciples as he was getting ready to suffer the death for our sins. Some individuals that I want us to look at as we go back and kind of glean through this a little bit. But let's go to the 27th chapter and look at, 28th chapter. And let's look at a few things this morning as we look at the resurrection. I want us to pay close attention to some things that's being said while this goes on. Now, as we talked about it last Sunday as we began, he says, you remember when we started this thing off in Matthew, the 20th chapter, and 7-19, and he said that he was going to be betrayed, he's going to be condemned to death, he's going to be delivered to the Gentiles, he's going to be mocked and scourged and crucified. And then he says, but, and the third day, he's going to do what? I shall rise again. And he made that statement several times prior to his resurrection. And here we have an example of what he said, the promises he makes, he fulfills. So in chapter number 28, verse number 1, and it says, and in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and set upon it. And his countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, fear not, ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. Now, I want you to notice something in this particular verse. And we'll pick up this verse later in our study. But I want you to look at verse number 4. It says, for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto who? The women. It doesn't mention anything about the keepers. He's just going to let them stay scared to death, I guess. And that's what they need to be. He said to the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. I know why you're here. I know what you're looking for. I know who you want to see. I know what your concerns are. So let me enlighten you a little bit about your concerns. I know who you're looking for. He says, he's not here. Now, what did they think had happened to Christ? See, when we look at the account of this in all the Gospels, we'll find that they thought they had come and done what with the body? Stole the body. Their concern, the concern now, all of a sudden, when they come, where is Jesus? We seek Jesus. And their concern was that somebody has come and taken the body of Christ out of the tomb and done something with it. We just want to know where it's at. Just tell us where it's at. And what's the answer? He's not here. Why is he not here? Because he's risen. And look at the next little phrase. As he said. As he said. And just as sure as you and I know this morning that our Lord has risen and kept that promise, he keeps every promise just that assuredly. Makes no difference what he's promised. In God's word, we know that's going to come true. So he said, he's not here. He says, come and see the place where the Lord lay. Come and see where he lay. And then when you do that, I want you to do something. And he says, and go what? Quickly. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. Now, go quickly. Tell them that I'm risen. Tell them I'm risen from the dead. Tell them I'm going to Galilee. And there you'll see me just like I've told you. I'm going to fulfill that promise to the nth degree, totally fulfilled. Now, let's go over to Luke. We're going to go to Luke, and then we're going to go to John. But let's go to Luke, 24th chapter, and look at a little phrase in these verses that I want us to look at. Luke 24, and we're going to be looking at the same account in verse number 6 and in verse number 8. And we're still at the resurrection. And here we have another account in the gospel of the resurrection. Let me read the whole thing. Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre bringing spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garment. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the what? The living among the dead. Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. Now I want you to notice a word or two in this verses. I just want you to keep this thought in mind. He is not here, but he is risen. And what's the next word? Remember. I want you to remember something. I want you to think back of some conversation that you've had with Christ. And I want you to remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. I want to bring the word back to you. The words that he spake, saying, and this is what he said, saying, the Son of Man, notice the word must, not shall be, what might be, not maybe, but he must be. That's the plan. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And he says, he must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day do what? He's going to rise again. So I just want to bring it back to your memory, what he has already said to you, that this was going to happen. Now, if you'll notice in verse number 7, he said he's going to be delivered in the hands of sinful men and he's going to be crucified. But it says he's going to rise again. And then in verse number 8 said, and they did what? And they remembered his words. And they remembered his words. Now, go back to John. Well, not back, but forward to John for just a moment. And let's look at a few verses here. In chapter number 14, in verse number 25. Now, he's talked about the comfort that's going to come. Here he says, these things have I spoken unto you, being what? Yet present with you. Now, I want you to remember what we've talked about. Remember the things I've said to you and what I've said to you concerning those things that must happen and those things that's going to happen in the future. Now, if we will look at the 16th on down, he said, I'll pray the Father and he'll send you a comforter, another comforter. I'm your comforter now. I'm in your presence now. 3 years of my ministry, we've been together. I called you into this ministry. And I have been your comforter, but I'm going to send you another one. And here we find that he says, I'm telling you all these things while I'm yet present, because he knows what shape they're going to be in where we are this morning in the resurrection, because Christ has been crucified. And now the sheep scattered all over everywhere. So he said, you remember. But he said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, bringing all things to your what? To your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, notice something in this particular verse also. Let's kind of break it down and look at it. He says that comforter that's going to take my place in your life, that's going to look after you like I've looked after you while I've been with you in your earthly ministry, that comforter is going to come, and that comforter is going to be the Holy Spirit. And he says he's going to be sent from the Father in my name. And he shall, notice, he shall do what? Teach you all things and bring things to your remembrance. Not only is he going to teach you new things and things that you've never seen and cannot imagine, but he's also going to bring into remembrance all those things that have happened while you have been walking with me in my earthly ministry. Because those two items together is what God is going to use to send you out in service for him. The new truths and the remembrance. The new truths and the remembrance. So he said, I'm going to send you out. I'll teach you all things and bring things to your memory. Whatsoever I, notice what, have said to you. Whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, while you're let's go over to the 16th chapter of the book of John for just a moment and look at a couple of things here. He says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. John 16th chapter, 12th verse. I might not have told you one. Have you ever thought about What if God, through the Holy Spirit, unloaded the whole world on you at one time? It blew us apart. He says, I've got a lot. Why do we study? Why did they say study, 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 study? Because he's going to feed and feed and feed and feed and feed. And he says, I've got something to say to you now. There's something else coming. But you can't stand it right now. And I'm going to measure it out to you. Just like I know you need it, I'm going to give it to you at the proper time. And through the process of our Christian life, he feeds us what we need at that particular time. Because our needs are not the same. Some days we need new grace we've never had before. And he measures it out as he goes along. And here it says, I have yet how many things? Many things. You won't never learn it all, and I won't never learn it all. So we can just keep right on going to the trough and feeding in it. He said, I've got many things to say unto you, but your memory is going to come from me, and I'm going to say it to you. But you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he... Now, I want you to notice, now we've been talking about the Comforter. We mentioned that Comforter. We mentioned the Holy Spirit. And here, when he talks about the Holy Spirit, how is he identified? A person. He is a person. It's not a product. It's a person. And here he says, he will come. He will guide you into all truth and shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever ye shall hear, that shall ye speak, and he will show you things to come. So, what does that tell me? If I'm going to stand before you Sunday after Sunday, Lord willing, and thank the Lord for those times that I've had an opportunity, but at the same time, you have concerns because you don't ever want to put your input into what you're saying. I want you to look at this verse very carefully now. Look at what he says in the latter part of this verse. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show it and show you things to come. So when we open our mouth about Christ, where had our conversation, where should our thoughts come that stimulates our conversation? Holy Spirit said, now I'm going to tell you what to say, and that's what you say, and otherwise keep your mouth shut. It's that plain and simple. If it's not by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, if it's not come from God Almighty himself through the Holy Spirit, then shut your mouth and stay quiet. And we'd have the churches in the United States of America would be a whole lot better off today if we'd adhere to that. Yes. Don't try to put my 2 cents worth in because it ain't worth 2 cents. Right. So it says, he's going to tell you what to say. Now I want you to notice in verse number 14, look at what it does if you listen to the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is going to do what? And who's he going to glorify? It says, he shall glorify who? Me. And that's what it's all about. If we can't come here this morning and study God's Word and glorify him, we've got no business of being here because he's the only one that needs any glory. that deserves any glory, because he's the one that's done it all, and all we've done is just been the recipients of what he's done, of his mercy and his grace. And he says, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Receive of mine, he's going to show it to you. All things that the Father hath of mine, therefore say I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. So you notice where it's coming from. Every time you notice where it's coming from. And then he goes on and says, for a little while, I won't be here. Now, look at look at verse, let me find it here. No, I read that a while ago. We're good. Now, we've talked about the resurrection. We've talked about the Holy Spirit and the leadership of the Holy Spirit. That God promised it and it's been fulfilled. And I know this is different from what we did to talk about when we talk about the resurrection. I just want to show you this morning, bring it back to remembrance, what God said and how he has fulfilled it. Now, how important is the resurrection? Go with me over to 1 Corinthians for just a moment. You go to the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And let's read these together. In 15th chapter, we start with verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. Okay, now let's break down. Paul says, I preach what to you? He says, I preach the gospel to you. And nothing else to preach. If a preacher stands up, or a teacher stands up, or you witness to somebody, if you don't witness to them about the gospel, shut your mouth and sit down. Now, wait a minute, you might say, that sounds a little bit hard. No, it's truth. Why? He says, I preach to you what? The gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have done what? Received. And if you've not received the gospel, then you're in trouble this morning, because you're still lost. And wherein ye do what? You stand. Wherein you stand. Don't make any difference. Stand strong. Let the world say that what they want to say and do what they want to do. Say what they want to say about you. But you stand strong on the gospel and the promises of God. He said, by which also ye were what? Saved. So you were saved how? You were saved by the preaching of the gospel. Somebody told you about Jesus. Somebody told you that you were a sinner, lost, doomed for an eternal hell, and told you about a Christ that was crucified for your sins, paid the price for them, rose again the third day, victorious over sin, death, hell, and the grave, and you received that message. And then you were saved. And that's the only way you're ever going to get saved. Nobody's saved without the gospel message of Christ. He said, by which also you were saved, if ye keep in memory that I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in what? In vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. Now, what did he give first? He said, I preach to you, first of all, that what? that I've also received. And if a man stands up before you and he's never been saved by the marvelous grace of God and not received the Holy Spirit of the Almighty God in him, he has no ability to preach or tell you anything concerning Christ. He said, I received it, and then I did what? I gave it. For I declare unto you, first of all, that which I receive, how that Christ died for our sins, how? According to the Scriptures. How much plainer does it need to get than that? And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of 2 or 3 people. Of 500 brethren at what? At one time, of whom the greater part remained to this present, but some are fallen asleep. And then Paul says, and after that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And if we were to look at those, you know, when Christ was resurrected, he hung around for 40 days after his resurrection. Why? Why did he not? He says, Mary, don't touch me. He said, I've not yet ascended to the Father. And if you think he's not fast, you better look how long it takes us to send a rocket to Mars. And then look, Christ says, maybe don't touch me. I've not yet ascended. And then a little bit, we see the women, and he says, touch me. You know what I'm talking about? Sure. Just a little while later. Yep. And he'd done made a trip to Father's throne and back. Twinkling of an eye. Ain't no problem. Distance is no problem with him. So he hung around. See, he went to the Father. I believe with all my heart he presented every drop of... Yes, sir. Amen. Every drop of blood that he shed for you and my sins, I think he presented it to God Almighty on the mercy seat. And says, here is the total offering for man's sin. And God said, accept it. Now, he's in the Father's presence. He's at the Father's throne. Why would he ever want to come back to this earth? But he come back and he stayed for 40 days. Why did he come back and stay for 40 days? To prove his resurrection. Right. To prove his resurrection. I told you I would rise the third day. And you can rest assured that I have risen. And I'm going to show myself all over this country. For 40 days I'm going to show myself. And here's where he showed himself to 500 people at one time. Now, look on down in this 15th chapter. You look at verse number 12. I like verse number 11. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach. And so ye did what? And ye believe. Preaching is tied to believing every time. Now in verse number 12, it said, now if Christ be preached, and notice the word preach again. How many times have we seen the word preach mentioned? And Brother Ben is not the only one that preaches the word. When you walk out of this door today, and I walk out of this door today, and we confess that we have been saved by the marvelous grace of God, you'll be preaching every step that you make wherever you go, because somebody's looking at you. Somebody's looking at you and watching to see just what kind, see if you are a real Christian. Put it that way. See if you're a real thing, okay? I got to hurry. I don't know where time went this morning. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Verse number 13 starts with what? But. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. So what's based on the resurrection of Christ? All the resurrection of the dead. All the resurrection of the dead. Now that covers a broad spectrum, and we need to talk about that. I can't right now. And if Christ be not risen, then is our what? And it's what? Vain, of no good. Okay? And your faith is also what? Vain. Why are you here this morning? You have to answer that question yourself. I know why I'm here. He saved me by marvelous grace. He put the Holy Spirit in my heart, and he's led me here. And that's the only reason. It's what he's done, it's not what I've done. Yea, and we are all found false witnesses of God. That means that all these years I've stood up here and teach, I've been lying. If he's not risen. Right. Well, let me tell you something. I ain't been lying. Okay? Yea, we are found false witnesses of who? Of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. I want you to notice something, and I'm looking at the clock. I want you to notice something in this particular verse. You look at the last, whom he raised not up, if so be that the what? The dead rise not. Now that didn't say that Christ rise not. It said the dead rise not. Now what do we teach and what do we believe? We believe that we rise also, right? So he says, now, if it's the case, ain't none of us going to rise and go nowhere. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ risen. If the dead rise not, then is not Christ risen. And if Christ be not risen, your faith is what? Vain. Yea, and ye are what? In your sins. And where does that put you? See, that puts you back to hell. You're in your sins and on your way to hell if Christ be not risen. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are what? See, all of a sudden, it begins not just to talk about his resurrection, but it talks about who else's resurrection. Us who claim that we know Christ in saving grace. We're in trouble too. Because those of us who have fallen asleep in Christ, he says, they perish too. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. I don't have a hope, so I got to know so. Saved by marvelous grace. Gonna follow a resurrected, a living Christ. He said it, I believe it, and that settles it. God bless you. Thank you for listening.